Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, on this first Sunday after Christmas, and also this New Year's Day, January 1st, 2023. Scripture lessons from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. The message is titled, "To Egypt They Went." The Word of God, as written in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, beginning at the 13th verse. When they had gone, When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region, to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther, written during the Reformation. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all in this same day. That's why we begin with the reasons. The angels saying outside of Bethlehem, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." They sang, "Gloria in excelsis Deo, for today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Just as we mark the beginning of a new year this January 1st, Jesus being born marked a whole new era of time, the era of time known as in the year of our Lord, or Anno Domini, as the Latin is, in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. And this year, 2023, we will be singing, proclaiming, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Why? For us, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. In the time leading up to that glorious moment, a sign so significant shined in the sky that miles and miles away, the sign in the sky caught the attention of a few men who watch the sky for signs. They constantly looked up to see signs. Such a significant sign, it took hold of them, such that they had to go and see what wonder had happened. What occurred to bring forth such a star shining in the sky? Can you imagine yourself setting out following a star? Why are you going? Have you gone daft? Your neighbors may tease you and maybe chide you a bit too. Why do you care what has happened that you should set out, that you would set out for a year's journey or more just to go and see? What draws you and causes you to go to so much effort? Now, I would gladly pack up and head west to see the Grand Canyon or to see that classic scenery that defined so many Western movies known as Monument Valley, or even better, by God's gracious hand, one day to even walk the streets of Jerusalem, and in particular, to walk the newly opened ancient pilgrim road, which goes from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount. A pathway that was buried deep under rubble when the Second Temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Now those stones, untrod for nearly two millennia, are open to the public, uncovered after years by digging a tunnel under the modern street and homes above it. They uncovered a portion of the road that went from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount. And you can walk it now. Traveling by car or plane takes a little planning, not too long to get to the Grand Canyon or monuments. But what about traveling to pack and travel by foot? Or camelback or horseback or donkeyback? Would you go? Why are you going? Where are you going? We'll know when we get there, with that star being our guide. The slowness of travel, covering just a few miles a day, filled with hardships of finding water, finding food, finding safe places to set up shelter each night. The Magi did this. Traveling by following the star, taking them eventually more and more west to Jerusalem to learn of the newborn king. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him." Up to this point, not much was known about what happened in Bethlehem. Some inklings of the news may have reached Jerusalem on account of the shepherds and what they had been told, but nothing reached Jerusalem to stir them up about Bethlehem and the birth of a baby boy in swaddling clothes in the manger. Nothing stirred Jerusalem until this entourage that now approaches Jerusalem. The ones leading the camel train, dressed in the finest of linens, or at least they presented themselves in such a grand manner that Jerusalem was definitely disturbed at their appearance and their questions. Matthew 2, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed in all of Jerusalem. Up to this point, Bethlehem, about 5 miles south from Jerusalem, was going about its daily routines. It's a short half-day's walk south to get to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. And it seems up to this moment, not much interest, if any, to go there to find out what had happened. That is, until the arrival of this group of Magi and their entourage. Where's the one born King of the Jews? We saw his star. Hold it. One moment. Herod is king, and no one has been born to take his place. There will be no usurper to Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a violent man. He killed anyone who was a threat to his rule. Herod even killed his favorite wife and his own sons as they were a threat to his rule. These questions the Magi have asked are a threat to Herod, and he is greatly agitated with ever-growing anxiety, and the whole of Jerusalem is stirred with them too. Matthew 2, beginning at verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests, that's Herod calls the chief priests together, and teaches the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea. They replied, for this is what was written, this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go to worship him. When you find the child, report to me, so I too may go to worship him. That's what Herod said. That's what the scriptures record Herod saying. In all honesty, do you think Herod had in mind or in his heart any plan to go and worship the child? Herod, who murdered his wife and his own sons, what will Herod do to this child? Herod has shown his ruthlessness. And the city trembled at Herod. What would Herod do at this news? For he broached no challenges, nor threat to his authority. Did you notice the chief priests had no problem answering from Micah chapter 5, verse 2? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. From the searching of scriptures for the Messiah, most likely they had these verses already memorized in their minds. And when Herod asked where, they knew right away. Yet did they comprehend? It seems they didn't comprehend the depth of Micah's words from the Lord. These words, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Micah's words from the living God. Writing the prophecy down, Micah's words point to the incarnation. Point to a boy, Jesus, being God. For only God goes forth from of old, from everlasting, from that time before there was time. There was only God before creation. And this one, Micah's prophecy from the Lord says, will be, origins are from of old, from ancient of time. Meaning from before that period of time, before there was time. Off to Bethlehem, the entourage heads out, following the star they had seen till it stopped. The sign of it just staying there must have been extraordinary. To appear in this manner, such that the Magi were overjoyed at the sight of the star. They knew they had come to the end of their quest. Climbing down from the camels with anticipation accumulated over the many miles and miles, almost countless days of travel, filling them with such excitement. Picking up their presents, thoughtfully chosen for the child and carefully carried over those miles. Humbly they enter the house and see the mother with child. With grand gestures of humble worship, the gifts are presented and each one opened. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. The aroma of the spices and perfumes filling the house as the Magi worship the child. Supernatural warning comes to them. Do not go to Herod. Return home by another route. And they obey. They obey the supernatural warning. Then another supernatural warning is given. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, that they as the Magi, obeying their warning, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. To Egypt they went promptly, leaving promptly in the middle of the night. No dilly-dallying. Up, go to Jerusalem. Up and go, for Jerusalem is not far. Get going now. Jerusalem's not far, and Herod's wrath can come down quickly when he figures out the Magi duped him. With presents fit for a king, in the middle of the night, Joseph, Mary, with Jesus, scamper off into the darkness and disappear in the darkness. This is no parable. This is no fairy tale, neither. Just the raw history in all its ugliness, fully displaying the reality of the fall of humanity into sin, with the resulting great evil humanity is capable of doing. The Savior, born to us, Jesus, who is called Christ, with the Gloria in Excelsis Deo filling the sky a short while ago, that Jesus with his mom and dad is now running and hiding as a fugitive. Herod was furious when he realized the Magi were not coming back. Calling in his commanders, orders were given to kill all the boys in Jerusalem and the vicinity around all the boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity around Bethlehem, not just the city, but into the hillsides all around Bethlehem. Kill all the boys. There will be no one born king of the Jews. It doesn't matter if there's a star or a sign or a wonder or someone proclaiming a newborn king has been born. None of that will keep Herod from doing his evil. The boy must be killed, irrespective of the signs the Magi had followed. Picking up Matthew chapter 2 at verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Some sit down and try to figure out the timing of the events. Every boy 2 years old and younger will be killed and was killed according to the timing of the Magi spoke of. How old was Jesus when fleeing to Egypt? Specifics? Give me the specifics. We want to know. But we don't. We don't know. It is enough to know that a great evil was unleashed by Herod to protect his position and power and wealth. A demonstration of human nature that we see even to this very day. People in position, power, and wealth, they bring forth much evil through the years to protect their position of power and wealth. And the desire of conquest, the desire of world conquest, it still flows in the hearts of leaders of various nations and also leaders of various international organizations these very days. like the World Economic Forum and China. China wants to conquer the world. World Economic Forum wants to. There's others. That's the evil heart of men. They still want to do as Herod had done years ago, protect power and position, and it brings forth evil. Egypt. Egypt is several hundred miles away from Bethlehem, to the north and to the east. The three traveled several weeks through the wilderness. Some say they followed the usual trade routes, and others speculate that they avoided the common roads to keep from being noticed, as the fury of Herod was well known. The Magi gifts, they came in handy, delivered by the Lord God just in time to take care of the young family as they traveled on foot, on donkey, on camel, we don't know. But they traveled to Egypt to live for several years outside of the reach of Herod's power. What can we say of Jeremiah's word from the Lord about the crying in Ramah and Rachel weeping for her children who are no more? What can we say about the Lord knowing such great evil would happen in and around Bethlehem at the birth of the Savior, His Son? Other than how much this shows we need this Savior. And the change that Jesus brings to a person's heart when redeeming grace overcomes and displaces that evil and forever transforms the heart. We need this Savior, Jesus. Society this day, these days, and all through the years, it looks for answers and solutions to crime and evil with new and novel psychological approaches and ideas to try. It seems anything, just about anything, to avoid the spiritual reality and the truth. The only real answer is a living relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior, that forever transforms a heart from the kingdom of the evil one into the kingdom of the Son of God, who is Christ forevermore. Only Jesus can do that. Another supernatural dream brings Joseph and the family back to the land of Israel. Archelaus, son of Herod, now rules in Jerusalem. Archelaus was king, and his brothers Antipas and Philip were made tetrarchs. Herod gone, perhaps things would be better off. Jerusalem hopes. But before being confirmed by Rome in his position, Archelaus puts down an uprising on the day before the Passover. He sends out the Herodian guard to the temple, and 3,000 were massacred that day by Archelaus. Archelaus is like his father Herod. So Judea would provide no safe home. Another warning, a supernatural warning, comes to Joseph to head off to an obscure district in Galilee. To Nazareth, a small town. It's a small place, 90 or so miles north of Jerusalem. It's in the hill country, way off the beaten path. In fulfillment of another prophecy, he would be called a Nazarene. Despite what man was trying to do, God continued with his will, unfolding in human history, to bring about the fulfillment of his word spoken through the prophets. We see this as Matthew, writing to Jewish hearers, emphasizes these prophecies fulfilled. Emphasizes Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Look, see for yourself. These prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. Born in Bethlehem, of the house of David, there was crying in Ramah, and Rachel comforted because the children were no more. Fleeing to Jerusalem so that out of Egypt, fleeing to Egypt so that out of Egypt I called my son, and then off to Nazareth in the north so he would be called a Nazarene. all those prophecies fulfilled in this short portion, as Matthew chapter 2 tells us what took place. In these days that we live, the same Lord God is working His will in human history. The Lord is sovereign and reigns in the fullness of His glory. Even as evil increases, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is even greater. Not in spite of our evil nature and our capacity and proclivity to do evil, but because of the evil nature that resides in humanity from the fall, the Father sent the Son to save. That's truly wondrous and brings glory to God in the highest. Seeing all the evil we are and are capable of doing, the Father sends the Son to save, because it's the only answer for who we are because of the fall of humanity. Evil. Evil on full display, raged against God's own Son as Jesus was betrayed, brutalized by beatings, scourged, portions of His beard pulled out, mocked in purple robes and that crown of thorns, spat upon, nails driven through His flesh to nail Him to the cross. The depravity of man for all to see was suffered by the Son of God when He had grown and was man, and the time has come to fulfillment. And this is the very means, the depravity of man for all to see is the very means the Father used in human history to forgive sins and set us free from evil. Our human evil was used to defeat evil on the cross. Christ crucified, dead and buried, is the one who rose on the third day, ascended 40 days later, and now reigns at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Interceding for us and for our salvation. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. God entered human history to be with us, to be one of us, so that we can become sons and daughters and heirs of God. To be with us and do this for us, the Son was born a fragile infant, needing protection, till one day growing into that man who would suffer greatly and die for us. Why? Why? God loves us and wants us to be with Him in His very presence. And the only way to be in His presence for this to happen was Christ's righteousness becoming our righteousness. As written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. All that was evil and sin in us from the fall was taken and placed on Christ, so that all that Christ was in righteousness is now placed in us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, now chapter Romans 5. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the Lord God whose will is being worked all through human history. To Egypt they went. To Egypt they came back. To the cross he went. Crucified, dead, and buried. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. Sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again. All of this so that we are sons and daughters and heirs of God forever. And it's all to the glory of God. God has done this all for the glory of God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Amen. Amen.